Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio, with a message for listeners in the Mountain and Pacific time zones. We pledge to have Issues Etc. podcasts posted daily, no later than 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Pacific. This will allow you to download and listen to the latest Issues Etc. podcast weekdays during your evening commute. Again, if you live in the Mountain or Pacific time zone, download Issues Etc. before you leave work and listen during your drive home.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There is a piece of legislation in Massachusetts that, well, it has a fair chance of passing, at least through the legislature. The governor is a different matter. It's called the Roe Act, and it would be pretty devastating to pro-life laws in Massachusetts, in addition to, I believe, legalizing abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. It's just one among several. I can think of Vermont and New York who have similar laws that they passed several years ago. And then, of course, if you look to Colorado, in the recent November 3rd elections, there was a proposition, Proposition 115, that would have put modest gestational limits on abortion. And it failed miserably. Joining us to talk about both of these pieces of legislation, Dr. Michael New, visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America. He's associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and a columnist for National Review Online. Dr. New, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about this Massachusetts Roe Act. What is it?
The Roe Act is a piece of legislation that the Massachusetts State Legislature has been debating for the past couple of years. It's a really radical bill that would really expand access to abortion in Massachusetts. It would effectively legalize abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason at all. And it would also weaken the pro-life parental involvement law in Massachusetts. Currently, minor girls under 18 have to receive permission from their parents before they obtain an abortion. And what this would do is would lower the age to 16. So if this becomes law, 16 and 17-year-old girls in Massachusetts could obtain abortions without receiving consent from their parents.
What do we know about similar laws passed in New York and Vermont?
It's interesting that the Democratic Party has really shifted to the left on sanctity of life issues. You really see that in blue states. In Vermont and New York, they've passed similar pieces of legislation that have explicitly legalized abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. The New York bill was signed by Governor Cuomo, and it's just, you know, really unfortunate. Even in blue states, most people do support limitations on abortion. People oppose second and third trimester abortions, even in quote-unquote liberal parts of the country. And it's just disappointing to see states following the pattern set by New York and Vermont.
This is something of a shift, especially with regard to parental involvement laws on the part of the state of Massachusetts. What has been that state's record on abortion laws?
Yeah, it's interesting that the politics of sanctity of life issues have changed a bit. That in the 70s and 80s, you had some states that were Democrat, but with a high percentage of Catholics, that really actually took the lead in passing some very good pro-life laws. The Massachusetts State Legislature tried to pass a pro-life parental involvement law as early as 1974, and they actually passed that law over a veto. And two times in the 1970s, the Supreme Court actually heard cases that involved pro-life parental involvement laws in Massachusetts. Finally, a revised parental involvement law was passed. It took effect in Massachusetts in 1981. So Massachusetts was actually one of the first states to have parental involvement. It was a strong law. It was actually a parental consent law. So Massachusetts, interestingly, has actually been a leader in protecting both minor girls and their unborn children. Rhode Island's another state. They passed their pro-life parental involvement law in 1982. So interestingly, some states we think of as kind of liberal or Democrat actually passed some very good pro-life laws in the 70s and 80s.
If you would, tell us about this 1986 study in the American Journal of Public Health on Massachusetts parental involvement law.
Sure. So Massachusetts is one of the first states to pass parental involvement. And there was a good study in the American Journal of Public Health that came out in 1986. It's a peer-reviewed journal. And they were very diligent. I mean, they had like month-by-month data on abortions in Massachusetts. You know, they compared abortion numbers for teenagers 18 and over who would not be affected by the law, and they compared those numbers to for minors under 18. And again, they had month-by-month data. This law took effect in April, and they were even able to look at what happened before the law took effect to the months after the law took effect. And they were also able to look at minors who went out of state to obtain abortions. And it was pretty clear that there was a big decrease, I'd say a decrease of about 25% or so, in the number of abortions performed in Massachusetts on minor girls. And yes, there was some evidence that some minor girls did obtain abortions in other states, that parental involvement laws are effective, but, you know, they're not magical. And sometimes girls can circumvent these laws by obtaining abortions in nearby states. But the data was very clear that the in-state decline clearly exceeded the out-of-state increase. So this pro-life parental involvement law did save lives. And another thing that this study noted was the fact that in the months after the law took effect, the minor birth rate went up. So that kind of indicates that some minor girls who have otherwise had abortions did decide to carry their pregnancy to term as a result of the law. So again, this study was very thorough. It had month-to-month data on abortions. It looked at abortions among minors in Massachusetts. It looked at Massachusetts minors who went to other states. And it showed very, very clearly this law did protect minor girls. It did save unborn children.
In other states, have parental involvement laws proven effective likewise?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's about 37 states that have pro-life parental involvement laws. There's a big body of research, at least 16 peer-reviewed studies that have analyzed parental involvement laws. And they've shown very clearly that if a state passes parental involvement laws, minor abortions go down. Typically, they reduce minor abortion rates by about 15%. So, again, they've played a very important role in protecting both minor girls and their unborn children. And they also have other good public health effects that other studies have kind of looked at their impact on other kind of public health outcomes. That essentially, if you pass parental involvement laws, minors engage in less sexual activity. So teen pregnancy rates go down. There's also evidence that gonorrhea rates go down. There is also evidence that teen suicide rates among girls go down. So not only do these laws protect minor girls and unborn children, they also protect public health in other ways.
What do we know about Massachusetts Republican Governor Charlie Baker's disposition toward the Roe Act?
Charlie Baker's a Republican. He is pro-choice. He supports legal abortion. And when this bill was being debated, he never expressed opposition, but he has expressed misgivings. When asked about abortion policy in Massachusetts, he often says that he supports the status quo. And this piece of legislation, which is right now being debated by the Massachusetts State Senate, is being included as part of a budget bill. And Charlie Baker has indicated that he's not happy about that, that he does not think it should be included in the budget. He thinks it should be a standalone piece of legislation that the legislature should debate and consider on its own merits. So he's expressed misgivings about the content of legislation. He's expressed misgivings about the fact that it's being included in the budget bill. Now, he hasn't necessarily promised to veto it just yet, but Governor Baker does have a line item veto. So if this bill does reach his desk, he could use that line item veto to strike down the Roe Act. Obviously, pro-lifers in Massachusetts and pro-lifers elsewhere are hoping and praying he does that. Again, he's not committed to doing so, but it's my hope he will be receptive to what pro-lifers have to say in the state.
Turning to Colorado, tell us about Proposition 115 and how it fared on November 3rd.
Yeah, Proposition 115, unfortunately, just some background, Proposition 115 was a ballot initiative, and it would have banned abortions after 22 weeks gestation in Colorado. And that was important. The Colorado is the site of someone who does late-term abortions. Warren Hearn has an abortion facility in Boulder and does late-term abortions. So there was a ballot proposition that would have protected unborn children after 22 weeks gestation. And unfortunately, it did not pass. I think it got approximately about 40% of the vote. So that was disappointing to see that not get the necessary votes to pass. However, I think some important context is necessary. I've studied ballot initiatives and I've studied direct democracy when I was a political science graduate student. And one thing I've learned is that fundraising often plays a big role as to which side wins these direct democracy campaigns. And pro-lifers are outspent by a margin of approximately 18 to 1. So when you're really dramatically outspent by your opposition, it's very hard to win. So that's kind of one thing. Another bit of important context is that poor laborers have enjoyed some success with direct democracy. More, we've had success involves things like parental involvement laws and also limits on taxpayer funding. We've never really had much luck passing gestational age limits through direct democracy. I mean, in fact, in the late 1990s, we tried to pass partial birth abortion bans in Colorado, in Maine, and in Washington State using direct democracy. And all those efforts failed. So obviously, it's disappointing to not get a good outcome, but I don't think we should despair. It's tough to win when you're outspent. And just generally speaking, gestational wage limits have never really fared that well on the ballot in Colorado or anywhere else.
So what are the lessons that pro-lifers should learn from direct democracy efforts to regulate abortions in the state?
Well, I think what we've learned is that, you know, first, fundraising is important. We should be well aware of the fact that our opponents will raise millions of dollars, that we tend to be on better ground that if we're dealing with parental involvement or taxpayer funding, you know, we've had success there, that we did stop taxpayer funding of abortion, at least through the Medicaid program in Colorado in the 80s, and we did stop taxpayer funding of abortion through the Medicaid program in West Virginia in 2018. I think that's an important lesson to learn. And I think it's also important just to not give up, that even though we didn't succeed in banning partial birth abortion through direct democratic means in the late 1990s, we certainly didn't give up. Other states passed partial birth abortion bans. President Bush, when he took office, he signed a federal partial birth abortion ban in 2003 that was later upheld by the Supreme Court in 2007. So persistence pays off. That, you know, we do encounter setbacks here and there as a movement, but we should never give up. That, you know, we can always make progress building a culture of life. We should learn from our mistakes and just keep proposing life-affirming legislation. Again, there's good evidence that persistence does pay off.
So if you could summarize it, how have gestational limit legislation pieces fared recently in other states?
Gestational wage limits have actually fared, you know, quite well. That one thing pro-lifers have pushed is 20-week abortion bans. There's evidence that unborn children can feel pain after 20 weeks gestation. And essentially, we've had these 20-week abortion bans probably passed about 20 states or so. So we've actually had quite a lot of luck at the state level getting these laws passed. A lot of them have been challenged, and they're kind of going through the court system right now. Right now, Mississippi passed a gestational wage limit. They're attempting to ban abortion after 15 weeks gestation. There's a good chance the Supreme Court may hear that case. We should hear something about that in the very near future. So again, the Supreme Court, you know, is going to hear a case on a gestational wage limit at some point in the near future. We don't exactly know when, but our hope is that with Amy Coney Barrett on the court, we're hoping that does provide kind of a durable pro-life majority that uphold these laws and other kind of protective laws to protect unborn children.
Dr. Michael New is visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America. He's associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and columnist for National Review Online. You'll find a link to his columns on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. New, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
In hour two of Issues Etc., we'll kick it off with listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email, talkback at issuesetc.org, comment line 618-223-8382. Then we'll get some post-election analysis with Molly Hemingway of Fox News.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our trek through St. Matthew with the Canaanite woman, healings and the feeding of the 4,000, demand for a sign, leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the confession of St. Peter. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at The Word Endures and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
It's almost that special time to unpack your Advent and Christmas ornaments. But there's a problem. Your ornaments are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam, the glitter has dropped off, and they are being held together with toothpicks. Don't celebrate another Christmas harkening back to the age of glitter balls. Ad Crusum's ornaments are beautifully designed and lovingly made. Right here in Colorado, we offer all the old designs and a whole lot of new ones. Visit adcrusum.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
This is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio, with a message for listeners in the Mountain and Pacific time zones. We pledge to have Issues Etc. podcasts posted daily, no later than 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Pacific. This will allow you to download and listen to the latest Issues Etc. podcast weekdays during your evening commute. Again, if you live in the Mountain or Pacific time zone, download Issues Etc. before you leave work and listen during your drive home.